evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, February 14, 2020. President Salva Kiir attacks IGAS special envoys for stalemate over the number of states.
Anything I say, they will go and turn it around and give the wrong report to their committee chairpersons. And these are the so-called special envoys.
And some South Sudanese say the president should talk to regular citizens, not just people who support him.
I think this consultation is not productive because it was just only a one-day process. And the issue of 32 states, whether it could be 32, 21 or 10 states, this thing was supposed to be handled since 2018.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir is accusing several IGAD special envoys authorized by the regional bloc to help the parties resolve their disputes over states and boundaries. He says the special envoys are working against the government's position of maintaining 32 states, which President Kiir imposed unilaterally. Most of the participants at today's meeting in Juba were President Kiir's supporters. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
President Kiir told those in attendance, who were mostly government officials, that it is hard to reverse the number of current states and their boundaries, and accused special envoys to South Sudan of being biased against the government. Speaking in Arabic, Kiir says his special envoys attending last weekend's summit in Addis Ababa on South Sudan twist his words and accused them of prolonging the disputes over the number of states.
Anything I say, they will go and turn it around and give the wrong report to their committee chairpersons. And these are the so-called special envoys who are saying something different to their heads. And that is why I said it is unfortunate that there are people here who have made South Sudan as their project for food. Because one day when we reach an agreement, they will be jobless. And that is why they don't want to be jobless, so that they continue to survive on the blood of South Sudanese.
Kiir says he rejected a proposal at the recent African Union-sponsored summit for the parties to either create 23 states or return to the original 10. Fighting instead to maintain the current 32 states. He says outsiders do not know what is best for South Sudan.
There are very funny people who have fitted themselves among us to be the ones knowing what do we want. But when we fought for over 50 years, did they come to help us, to tell us that let us do this? We were fighting on our own. We fought on our own until when the international community came in to stop fighting.
Kiir says he built a huge workforce after creating 32 states and argues that going back to 10 would create another conflict. The Independent Boundaries Commission, the body that was supposed to determine the number of states and their boundaries, failed to resolve the matter. Kiir and opposition leader Riek Machar met several times to discuss the issue but never reached a compromise. Special Envoy Ismail Ways from IGAD, David Mabuza from South Africa, Kalonzo Musyoka from Kenya, and Betty Bigombe from Uganda could not convince Machar and Kiir to reach a deal and revert the matter to the African Union summit last weekend. The AU issued a communique suggesting the issue on the number of states is a South Sudanese matter. At today's meeting, participants were asked whether they support 32 states or a return to the original 10 states. That is South Sudan Information Minister Michael Makwe calling on participants at the meeting to choose between the 32 states and 10 states. Paul Mayom Akech, the South Sudan Minister of Trade, Industry and Investment, says, according to the response from those attending today's meeting, most South Sudanese support keeping 32 states.
Once a question has been asked and an acclamation is made without a dissension, that forms a basis for unanimity, and therefore should be taken in that same way. I want to tell my brother, who is a very able person, Peter, that make record of our categories. This is the executive, this is the national legislature, this is the governance of the state, this is the civil society, this is the religious-based organizations, this is youth, this is women, and all this by unison agreed to unanimously say no reduction of the 32 states.
Most of those at the meeting were government ministers, governors, chiefs, representatives, along with pro-government youth, women, and civil society activists. Maridi State Governor Africano Mandei says any move to reduce the 32 states would be a mistake.
The number one challenge, as well as threat to peace and security in our country, is any decision to drastically alter or cancel the current status of states. It is a threat that will not only threaten the revitalized peace agreement, but it will also threaten the survivability of our country in a scale that has not been witnessed before.
The SPLM-IO boycotted the meeting, according to a statement issued by Machar earlier today, arguing Kiir was only consulting with his constituents, not the parties, to a revitalized agreement. Members of the former detainees, South Sudan Opposition Alliance, and other political parties did not speak up at the meeting, partly because they were not present, except for one representative from a fragmented political party who said he is in support of the 32 states plus Abyei. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Still in Juba, some residents of the town say the Kiir administration should carry out wider consultations with ordinary people across the country over the stalemate over the number of states and their boundaries. The residents say rather than consulting with officials in his own government, President Salva Kiir needs to talk to citizens to hear what they want. Lasuba Memo has more for VOA from Juba.
Louis Longar, a student at the University of Juba, says the step taken by President Kiir to consult with the public is a good idea and says he supports the current number of states, but any decision Kiir makes should reflect the will of the people.
I need a consultation to go on up to the grassroots. It should not stop from here in the University of Juba. It should also go to secondary school and primary school, because those young students and the pupils in primary school, they are a part of this nation.
A 40-year-old Juba resident who prefers to be identified only as Rolda for security reasons says he too supports 32 states and stands by any decision Kiir makes because he is the head of state.
Yes, I'm right.
Any step that the president takes now, it is our step all, because he represents us all. He is consulting us to find what our views are. So any steps he takes, we will support him.
Juba resident Peter Gatkoth says he supports the proposal for creating 23 states plus Abyei. Gatkoth says today's consultation was unnecessary and politically motivated.
The consultation from the president, I think, is unnecessary because the time to declare 32 states, he has not consulted anyone. So there's no time to waste to consult people again, because some people, they don't like 10 states because they get a benefit on 32 states.
Yasin Fiki Abdallah agrees. He suggests that the parties to the revitalized deal revert back to 10 states.
In my opinion, I think this consultation is not productive because it was just only a one-day process. And the issue of 32 states, whether could be 32, 21 or 10 states, this thing was supposed to be handled since 2018 after the signing of the agreement in Khartoum. But the parties are not willing to solve these issues. Then what I'm just saying, that is just a wasting of time. What they can do is they have to revert to the 10 states.
Fiki says that is the only way to create peaceful coexistence among South Sudanese. Kiir is expected to report the outcome of his consultations to IGAD by tomorrow. For VOA News, I am Lasuba Memo in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Khartoum, where the Human Rights Watch is praising Sudan's transitional government and various rebel groups for agreeing to hand over former President Omar al-Bashir and three others indicted on war crimes to the International Criminal Court. The Human Rights Watch director, who is in Khartoum, says handing over Bashir and the three Others would be a big step toward ensuring accountability for crimes committed in Darfur. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Khartoum.
Kenneth Roth, the executive director at Human Rights Watch, who is leading an HRW team to visit Sudan this week, met with the head of Sudanese Sovereign Council, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, on Wednesday. Roth says al-Burhan reiterated the government's commitment to cooperate with the ICC by sending Bashir and his former advisors on a plane to The Hague.
He pledged full cooperation with the International Criminal Court. He said that he would welcome the International Criminal Court setting up an office in Sudan. And he said that he is committed to seeing justice done throughout the country, not only the cases that the International Criminal Court is already pursuing, but also other cases that should be pursued, ideally by a Sudanese special court.
Roth says sending Bashir to the ICC will underscore Sudan's commitment to justice. The other Sudanese officials are Ahmed Haroun, former State Minister for Humanitarian Affairs and former Governor of Southern Kordofan State, Abdurrahim Muhammad Hussein, the former Defense Minister, Ali Kosheb, a militia leader, and Abdallah Banda, leader of the Justice and Equality Movement in Darfur. Roth says HRW officials talked to government officials about other possible human rights violations in Sudan.
So he talked about other cases in Darfur since the early crimes that the International Criminal Court is prosecuting. He talked about crimes elsewhere in such places as the Nuba Mountains, South Kordofan, and of course here in Khartoum as well.
Roth says al-Burhan vowed to set up tribunals to try those who might have been involved in committing atrocities against citizens. He says Sudan has an opportunity to show the world it is serious about democratic transformation.
So we were heartened to hear such a strong, clear, unconditional commitment to see justice done and recognition by General Burhan that he is in an historic place. He has a unique opportunity to turn the corner for Sudan, to ensure that a firm, positive foundation for democracy and the rule of law is built.
Roth urged the government to invite ICC officials to Sudan to discuss terms of cooperation and how to move forward with the prosecutions. Bashir faces 5 charges of crimes against humanity, 2 charges for war crimes, and 3 charges of genocide committed between 2003 and 2008. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, African nations ramp up their efforts to detect the coronavirus. Find out more when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
when was the last time you did something that made you feel proud?
I founded my private school called Promise College Secondary School, and I'm proud of it because I want to help my citizens in South Sudan.
That was 2015 December when I took a step, because everybody was against journalism, especially in South Sudan. But when I said it is my own belief and my own interest, my own like and my what I love, so why don't I go for it? I shouldn't be listening to what other people say. It should be coming from me. If I want it, I'll have to go for it.
I think a few weeks ago when I finally managed to balance my life socially and professionally and just get a good work-life, social-life balance.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. African countries are scaling up their ability to detect the coronavirus as fears mount that the continent's first confirmed case could soon be announced. The African Center for Disease Control and Prevention has warned it could be devastating if the virus enters the continent. VOA's Simon Mark reports from Addis Ababa.
With more than 64,000 cases of the novel coronavirus confirmed across the globe, African countries are rushing to train health workers. Officials are also enhancing screening at airports and working to set up laboratories in all 54 African states to detect the virus. The director of the Africa Centres for Disease Control and Prevention, John Nkengasong, spoke to reporters Friday at the African Union headquarters in Addis Ababa.
As we speak today, more than 16 countries now have that capacity to test. And by the 20th of this month, an additional 20 labs, that is 16 plus 20, will have the capacity to test. So we are scaling up very rapidly across the continent in terms of diagnostics. As we speak here now, there's a training going on in Nairobi, Kenya, on enhanced surveillance and airport and port of entry screening. Over 40 countries will be trained in two sets.
Despite the efforts to prevent the spread of the disease, Nkengasong said there is a possibility the coronavirus has already entered Africa.
And I think that should remain a possibility, that because of our weak surveillance systems, that we might not be picking up cases. But we also know that the entire continent is really at a very heightened state of preparedness and alertness.
Several African countries have reported suspected cases in the 2 months since the virus first emerged in China, but none have been confirmed. Nkengasong underscored the risk should the coronavirus be found in Africa.
We are seeing what is happening in China, that even with the amount of resources that China has been a struggle. And this is a fast-evolving and a fast-replicating virus. So if the virus was to hit a fragile state in Africa, the concern is that the consequences will be very, very devastating.
The Africa CDC called on African governments to bring back students trapped in Wuhan, China, the epicenter of the outbreak, after the government locked down the city. Nkengasong said it could easily become a humanitarian crisis if students in China run low on supplies. Some African governments have been reluctant to evacuate their nationals in Wuhan because of weaker surveillance and healthcare systems back home. Simon Marks for VOA News, Addis Ababa.
And now for some sports news. 10 athletes have been selected to represent South Sudan at the African Cross Country Marathon in Togo this year. South Sudanese long-distance runner David Gonje will compete in Togo in April. Gonje won bronze medal in Eritrea last weekend. David Monodanga has more for VOA from Juba.
The South Sudan National Athletics Federation held its second national marathon last weekend to select the athletes from across the country who will compete in the Africa Cross Country Marathon in April. The South Sudan athletes heading to Togo are Yusuf Nyokdeng, John Abuch, Otomure Kasuk, William Yach Majok, David Gonji, Santino Saman, Mimi Simon, and Rohana Ajak. Some, like Yusuf Nyok, has been training in neighboring Kenya. Despite the long bus ride from Kenya, Nyok went on to win the 10-kilometer race in 31 minutes and 30 seconds. He says he cannot wait to represent South Sudan in the cross-country competition.
We are going to compete with African, especially Kenyan, Ugandan, Gulf East Africa are not easy. But for me, I'll try to do something for myself and my country also to try my best to run more than this I ran today.
Nyok says he is hoping to finish the 10-kilometer race in less than 30 minutes to win a medal in Togo. Speaking in Arabic, Mimi Simon, who won the 2,000-meter women's race, says she too is looking forward to competing in Togo.
I am very happy for winning this race because it was so difficult, but I am very happy because I did well. I know it's not going to be my last time to win. I am going to improve because I have support from my coaches.
The president of the South Sudan Athletics Federation, Samir Kamis, says the federation will host the athletes in Torytown for 1 month of intense training ahead of the Togo Marathon. Speaking in the local Juba Arabic, Mubarak Ruben, chairman of the Torit Athletics Federation, says Torit has the right typography for the athletes' training.
In the whole of South Sudan, Torit is the only place that is good for long races because it is mountainous. Training camps like in Kenya, Uganda, and Ethiopia are all mountainous. That is why the athletes always do well.
Kenya's New York Marathon champion, Geoffrey Kamoro, said in November he will skip the Africa Cross Country Championship in Lome, Togo, because he is focused on defending his World Half Marathon title in Gdynia, Poland on March 29th. Kamoro's absence in this year's cross-country marathon gives a chance for other athletes in the region to shine. The 6th African Cross-Country Championships will be held on April 8th in Togo. For VOA, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America, and it's time for our listener comments. And this week, many of you have written to us. We start with Simon Dumba, who did not tell us where he's writing from. He says, "My appeal to the World Health Organization and other world scientists, plus the Chinese government, is that they should struggle to contain the virus. Otherwise, for us South Sudanese refugees, it is frustrating to hear that coronavirus has crossed to Africa. It is hard to treat mere ulcers in the camp. Thanks so much for the show." Hakim John from Yei writes, "I don't know what the government is saying. How do they ask us citizens about state issues? When they are creating those states, did they come to ask us to give our views? These are all political games to divide us." A listener who did not reveal his or her identity for fear of government reaction writes, "The protest in South Sudan was in two ways. One was a pro-government protest on the retainment of 32 states, and the anti-32 states protest was to revert to 10 states. He continues, "In some states like Western Lakes, people were forced at gunpoint to go to the streets in support of 32 states. Simon Kotmading from Juba writes, "The low turnout by citizens yesterday shows their unwillingness to what the regime is doing for imposing 32 states out of their will." He continues, "10 states is for peaceful South Sudan." Lexon Saki in Juba writes, "I pray God use our leaders in the consultation meeting so that they decide on resolution of the conflict in South Sudan. Peace is expensive but affordable. God help South Sudan." A listener who did not reveal his or her identity writes, "The government of South Sudan is becoming dictatorial in a way that even lecturers at public universities are threatened by a suspension, like what happened to Professor Taban Loliong." He continues, "My opinion is that the creation of 32 states in South Sudan was not the will of the common citizens of this country. It was a plan of divide and rule of those sects and proxies of the president and the Council of Elders. Otherwise, 10 states is the salvation to the economic crisis, social and political crisis in the country. What the government does is only to work and bribe politicians by giving cash, buying lavish cars to state governors at the expense of common people who do not have a place to lay their heads. Shame on you," he concludes. Another listener who did not reveal his or her identity writes, "I like Dr. Riek Machar for one thing. He always creates what he does not implement. For example, in 1991, he created a referendum, then he rebelled. When asked to wait in 2014, he created 23 states. And when President Kiir created 32 states, he became unhappy, taking us back to 10 states. Let him face his past." Sunday Agok Arou from Western Lake State, Rumbek, writes, How I wish Dr. Ariak and President Kiir Mayardit should learn to forgive each other and get over their political grievances and form the government of national unity for the sake of South Sudanese who are suffering inside and outside the country, he continues. Both Raila Odinga and late Arap Moi provided Kenyans and its people an avenue to become one democratic nation. Rest well, Mzee Arap Moi. Aroma Yendid in Juba writes, peace in South Sudan need an open-minded approach and informed decision. The delays in Artigonu formation is largely political and has nothing to do with the number of states based on the following observations. One, no state came out openly requesting for revocation, and that shows everybody is comfortable with his or her state. To justify my argument, still there is a demand for more states, which is more eminent to cause wars if not addressed. Buma State was given special status before the formation of any state due to instability in Jonglei, and you cannot take their state back to Jonglei. Finally, SPLM-IO should say that they are not ready for any peace and avoid hiding behind fake reasons. All states were created on counties of defunct states, and each county had its own clear boundaries. And finally, Gervasio Marino from Juba University School of Community Studies and Rural Development writes, just an appreciation. I'm really happy with what VOA is doing in Africa and home country in particular. Social and economic, political news. I want to be connected with you all the time and get more news about Africa and its progress. Thanks for your comments. Keep them coming. That's our show for this Friday. We now take you to Yambio with Tutu singing in her native Zande language about the problems created by rebels of the Lord's Resistance Army in what used to be called Western Equatoria. We have been listening to Tutu with that beautiful traditional Zande song talking about LRA. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Have a good weekend, and we hope you will join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.